Rachel Cerati has been traveling for almost a decade. She's on a mission to retrace her grandmother's journey. Cerati's grandmother, Hanna Dubova, was Jewish from what was then Czechoslovakia. When World War II broke out, Hanna was 14. She escaped to Denmark, where she worked on farms until she had to flee again, this time to Sweden. Eventually, Hanna Dubova made her way to the U.S. Rachel has been going to all the places where her grandmother ever lived and meeting many of the people who helped her along the way. She's working on a book about it called Follow My Footprints.
I had always grown up knowing that she was a Holocaust survivor. That was just part of our family narrative. And then in college, knowing I was going to go into photojournalism, I knew she was at the end of her life, and I thought it would be a great time for me to spend one-on-one time with her. And so I asked her for her oral narrative, not quite knowing what I would do with it, but understanding the importance. And then she passed away about a year later, and I discovered this just wealth of archive information. So hundreds of photographs, diary entries, letters to her parents, deportation papers, report cards from her childhood. And I just kind of started puzzling everything together. And for the next 4 years, essentially sat on my bedroom floor and digitized everything and recopied the journals and had things translated. And then I decided to go on the road and go to these places and do my very best to immerse myself into the languages and landscapes and lives that she lived during her close to 20 years of statelessness.
Now, I know when Donald Trump was elected, the election of Donald Trump affected you and kind of affected how you approached this project and your grandmother's story. In what way?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when I started this project in 2009, I found it to be very interesting and very important. I wouldn't necessarily have said it was timely. What we have seen really since 2015, when the refugee crisis started, you know, to become at the forefront of international media, everything started to change a little bit in my eyes, because at that point I was traveling through Europe and rereading a lot of my grandmother's diaries and thinking about how terrified she was to go from one country to another. And here I was traveling through the Schengen zone and feeling, you know, entirely comfortable. But then the refugee crisis started happening. So I was in Sweden meeting with, you know, I've met the family of the fisherman who brought my grandmother's refugee boat to shore in Sweden. And I'm standing there, and they take me to this house that they said my grandmother stayed in the first night. And what I found was a whole group of unaccompanied refugees there again. And that has just, it's really put my head in a, made my head spin a lot.
I know you suffered your own tragedy during this process around the time of the election of Donald Trump. Your husband died suddenly. And you've said that this event also changed the story that you wanted to tell. How?
Yeah. My husband, Sergio, was from Poland. We had met in Israel while we both studied abroad in 2009, actually exactly a month after I first asked my grandmother to tell me her story. So he had been part of my life for much of this. We had been best friends for 5 years before we started dating. And when I had relocated to Europe to work on this project, we started a romantic relationship, and his family immediately brought me into his life. And that gave me a European identity that had kind of been lost through a couple generations of assimilation in America. And it helped me really understand the historical narratives in Europe. So he gave me a lot of perspective in our relationship. And when he passed away, which was very suddenly, just before our one-year anniversary and just after we had celebrated with friends and family on the farm in Denmark, our wedding celebration, you know, I was hit with grief, and I had never really known what grief was. And, you know, here I had spent 8 years studying the story of displacement and grief, and I thought I was understanding it, and all of a sudden I wasn't, because in a matter of minutes I, you know, lost my person and I had to move out of my apartment, and I lost our future plans. I lost the opportunity for us to go live in Europe. There were just, everything got ripped away. Of course, my story is very different than my grandmother's. There's no question about that. But that feeling of loss was not something I really could have channeled before. And in that sense, all of her words felt differently to me. And then there was the election of Donald Trump, and I'm seeing what's happening in politics, and just everything took a different context. The whole story changed. And so I'm trying to catch up to that now, and I'm trying to almost retrace my own steps, whereas before I was retracing hers.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Because you're a very young woman. It must have been very difficult.
Yeah, I was 27 at the time, and it was very sudden.
Based on what you've learned so far in this multi-year project, what do you hope people take away from your story?
I think that a big part of it is to understand that survivor stories don't stop once, you know, life seemingly becomes okay again. And I also really hope that people become curious in their own family history. You know, this family in Denmark that I've become very close with, they were the third of three foster families, but they were the only one that made my grandmother feel at home. And that has proven to still be true two generations later. After Sergio's death, I, you know, have gone back there. I'll be back there this summer. And they have been a huge support in my grieving process and also the holder of really great memories. And, you know, it's really special to think that two generations ago, my grandmother had the same thing.
Rachel Cerati is working on a book called Follow My Footprints about her grandmother's story and now her own story. Thank you so much.
Thank you.